Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Todd O'Boyle, who's the Program Director at the Media and Democracy Reform Initiative at Common Cause. Welcome to Background Briefing, Todd O'Boyle.
Good to be here.
And you were in the court today, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, which is the court directly under the Supreme Court, which is heavily dominated by conservative judges, and the president has not been able to get his appointees on that court. So of the three panel judges today, are they all conservative Republicans?
Well, you have one Reagan appointee, Judge Silberman, and two Clinton appointees, Judges Rogers and Tatel.
Oh, so in this case, there's only one. Silverman is extremely conservative, but the other two are what? Centrist, moderate? Is that how would you describe them?
They're certainly I'd not. Say that's fair. Yeah.
So, what was the sense of Verizon's appeal here, where they're basically saying that the FCC shouldn't have a jurisdiction over net neutrality, and that the regulations that the FCC have come up with are excessive, arbitrary, and capricious?
Right. So they had a two-part argument. One part was, as you say, about whether the FCC has authority to enact rules that protect consumers and preserve the open internet, or net neutrality, as it's also known. The other part of their argument was about the First Amendment. And while it didn't get much play during the hearing today, it only came up a couple of times, the Verizon maintains that they have the right to exert what they call editorial control over the communications on their network. And they liken their network to a newspaper and say that we have free speech rights and we have editorial privileges and we should be able to selectively carry or not carry the content that our users want based on our editorial control.
But did anybody point out that in this era of media monopolies like Verizon, Comcast, and Time Warner, that people have little to no choice about what pipeline comes into their house? And if the person who has the privilege of owning this pipeline can start deciding what you want as opposed to what you've been getting in the open internet, how can they make that judgment that they're a newspaper, they're a vital source of information and communication, they are the gatekeepers?
Yes, they absolutely are the gatekeepers, and this is the way we communicate and organize and connect in the 21st century. So anytime we allow these media monoliths to erect toll booths and exercise gatekeeper control on the way that we connect and organize and communicate, it should be giving us all pause for thought. We should all be very concerned about this.
And that's what this ill-defined term net neutrality means, but the consequences are so much greater. The internet has grown up as a free an open source of information, and that very character, that very nature of the internet is what's being threatened in this court case, which I'm astounded that not more people are paying attention to it.
You're absolutely right, and the internet we have that's been so transformative in the late 20th and now early 21st century is a consequence of its openness. It's a consequence of its neutrality. And as soon as you start erecting toll booths and you start giving these big corporations gatekeeper control, you really jeopardize that. And in fact, what we had always suspected, they finally admitted today. By that I mean Verizon. Verizon said, look, we'd like to experiment with ways to they use fancy terms about, they call it paid prioritization, and they use different euphemisms for it. But they basically said for the first time ever, we are interested in being able to allow or disallow access to certain content on our networks based on who's willing to pay for priority access.
Again, I'm speaking with Todd O'Boyle, the Program Director at Media and Democracy, at the Media and Democracy Reform Initiative at Common Cause. He was in the court, the D.C. Second Circuit Court of Appeals today, hearing Verizon make its arguments as it challenges the FCC's jurisdiction over what is called net neutrality, the open internet. And this is probably one of the most critical cases to affect the future of America, largely going under the radar. Although, you know, it amazes me, Todd, that so many people use the internet. I mean, I don't know. I look around me and everybody's staring at their palm with an iPhone. I mean, the extent to which this thing has become ubiquitous is extraordinary. But people don't seem to recognize that the entire nature of it will change once these corporate gatekeepers get their way, and they basically be deciding what they want you to have as opposed to what you want to have.
Precisely. And one of the – you accurately identify this as an untold story or an undertold story. Another undertold story is that the FCC in many ways created this mess on their own accord by years back in the early 2000s. Deeming broadband a so-called quote-unquote information service for the purposes of regulation. If they had maintained its classification as a, quote, telecommunication service, we wouldn't be having this debate. Everyone agrees, and it came up several times today in the courtroom, that if we were dealing with, again, not to get too technical, if we were dealing with so-called telecommunication services, and the FCC still maintained its classification of broadband internet as a telecommunication service, we wouldn't be. No one would think twice about whether the FCC had the authority to protect consumers and promote the open internet. So really, you know, things didn't seem to go well for the FCC today, and I would never deign to predict what the judges will ultimately decide, but should these rules be thrown out in part or in whole, the FCC will be at a crossroads and can take another look at whether they have the classification of the internet right. And if they really care about protecting consumers and promoting a diverse, open internet that connects all Americans, then they should probably take a good solid look at reclassifying broadband.
Well, it's so obvious that it is like telecommunications. It is like a phone company. The phone company doesn't monitor what you say. Maybe the NSA does, but the phone company doesn't monitor everybody's conversations. They just allow you to use their pipeline for a price. And that is the whole point of the open internet, is that nobody should be telling you who you communicate with and what you communicate about. And that's why the internet has flourished.
Absolutely. A good way to think of it is like delivering a letter. If you drop a letter in the mail, like we used to do, you just expect that the postal service will get it to its destination, and you trust that it'll get there without it being tampered and opened and manipulated or edited, to use Verizon's term. So that it's not a difficult concept, and we know that it works and that it's a good way to guarantee that people are going to have faith that the content they want to get or that they want to send out will reach its destination. And this is pretty fundamental to the way that we have always communicated.
Well, if the public, they have to wake up soon because this is such a critical case. I mean, what more do you need as a wake-up call than what's going on now? With Time Warner and their corporate spat with CBS, where they simply don't give a damn about their own customers, and they just, you know, pull the plug on CBS because over how much they could gouge the customers, and the public don't count to these people. So if Verizon gets the authority that they want, then, you know, look out. They don't care about you. They just care about whatever they can shove down their pipeline to you.
Yes, and we should be, if you look at, mentioning video is a good one, look no further than Netflix. You should be really concerned if Verizon has the ability to degrade Netflix's performance to push its own alternative than some of the services that we've come to really, that we've all come to enjoy on the internet may no longer be available. Similarly, just think about what we might not see. Maybe there's another you know, another upstart. And, you know, the tech economy has been such a boon and so important.
Right. They'll be stifled before you know about it. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Todd O'Boyle. Again, I've been speaking with Todd O'Boyle, who's the program director at the Media and Democracy Reform Initiative at Common Cause. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.